Hey, folks. Jack here. Just wanted to let you know, I forgot to hit the record button until we were about 5 minutes into our conversation. Mostly, you just missed the weather. We're going to jump right in where we started to record with Brenda Hammond giving us a little history on the Bonner County Human Rights Task Force. She goes through the 30-year history of it, and this is where I remembered to hit record. Apologies for that. Do enjoy the program because I think it's pretty good. Here we go with Brenda and Sharon McCann from the Bonner County Human Rights Task Force, and then Veronica Knowlton joins us after that from the Panetta Theater.
And there was so much violence and so much ugliness that occurred in Kootenai County, including bombing the rectory of Father Bill Wasmuth, other bombings, bank robberies, a murder or two, and a lot of other unlawful things that went on just associated with the presence of the Aryan Nations there. And they were advising us to organize and be ready. And so that was really
who was doing the advising when you
this
say
this was the people from the Kootenai County Task Force and other people from Kootenai County.
So they suggested move one county northward to Bonner.
Well, yeah, they were advising us that it would be important for us to organize and to be able to have a voice and make a stand against this. So that's how we were. That's how we originated in 1992. We were incorporated then as a nonprofit, and had many opportunities to take a stand and try to find ways to counter that ideology without just going head to head with the organization. Richard Butler used to come to our public meetings almost without fail, often with members of his displaying their swastika armbands.
He was the head of the Aryan compound in Hayden, if I'm not mistaken.
Right.
Now tell me, one might say, that was 1992, 30 years. Do we still need the organization?
Well, and that's really a good question. And certainly after the Southern Poverty Law Center won the lawsuit against the Aryan Nations, the compound was closed, and there was no longer any center that people from all over the United States could come and gather, because that's what happened every year when, in order to celebrate Hitler's birthday, they had a big congregation or conference every year. When that was no longer there, the Aryan Nations was not as big a presence. They didn't have a place to gather people together. And so for the task force, it was really liberating, because it allowed us to focus on, just being a human rights organization and looking at human rights from a much broader perspective, not just protecting people from harassment and discrimination, but looking at the Universal Declaration of Human Rights and all of the things that human rights have come to stand for around the globe. So things like I remember one 4th of July when we were marching in the parade, we had a big sign that said, basic needs are human rights. And we had a lot of other organizations marching with us that provided different kinds of services in the community that are all really under the banner of the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. So it gave us an opportunity to focus more on education and the arts and the scholarships that we offer every year. And
the grants?
Right. Well, we didn't begin giving grants until we were given an extremely generous grant by Dorothy Adler when she passed away. And we put the majority of that money with the Idaho Community Foundation so that it would earn interest that we could offer to the community in the form of grants every year. And we've done that ever since.
And I know the radio station here has been the recipient. And I think that's absolutely brilliant, because the principle remains the same, but there's money every year that you can count on,
right,
that can be given back to the community. I think that's wonderful.
And collaborating more and more with other agencies.
Absolutely.
That we see all, you know, moving in the same direction.
Cool. I'm going to turn to Sharon and say, tell me about July 15th.
Ta-da. Well, I think we have a great schedule. There's going to be lots of live music. There are going to be art activities for children, poetry, a silent auction, and there will be some brief, you know, speakers about the history of the task force. Also, the one of the things that will be highlighted are two, a book that was written by a woman who was married to a man who was in the Aryan Nations group. And she wrote it after he died. And so her daughter will be here. She finished the book after her mother passed away. And it's called Torn, Married to a White Supremacist. And I think that will be of interest to people, about what that was like for that family in this community. And also, Christine Holbert from Lost Horse Press has a new publication of Ukrainian poetry, which will also be presented. So that's very timely.
Oh,
what's
absolutely
happening right now.
And so, and this will take place in the Granary District.
Right.
For anybody wondering where that is, that's Matchwood Brewery, as well as Evans Brothers Coffee. It's in that area there.
Right.
And so when does it begin?
Begins at 4 o'clock in the afternoon and goes to about 9 o'clock, I think, however long people want to keep dancing or the musicians play.
Who are the musicians?
The musicians are Bright Moments.
Arthur's group.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Beth Peterson is going to do a sing-along. She's all going right to sing songs that we can all join in on. We have a young violinist, Max Reed. His parents have an organization called Music Bridges Borders. They bring Mexican music students from Mexico every summer. Mm-hmm. And they're coming after the event, so we won't be able to hear them. But their son is a violinist. He will be playing.
He's played on the radio station before.
Has
actually
he?
I think he started, we had him up here for a membership drive when he was like 8 years
both
old.
Both he and his sister.
Like that. Yeah. And then, and many times since then, and it's
right
been fun to, he's excellent. I
yeah
mean, yes, he's been,
I'm looking
for
forward
a long time
to that. I've seen him in some of the presentations of the choral group that they have.
Yeah.
And then the evening ends with Knights of Neon.
Exciting.
Ooh, I don't know them, do you?
I don't think so.
I'm not familiar with them either.
Yeah.
It's Paused Rainbows group.
Okay. Well, then I do know them. Okay. Yes. Okay. And that's a fun, that'll be fun. Yeah. I bet. That will be a good group. Nice lineup, guys. Nice.
Well, it's exciting, too, because the musicians, I've been talking with everyone this week just to be sure we're all, like, have our details in the same order, we're all on the same page, and everyone is so excited to be playing, and so I think it's really going to be fun. It is a celebration. It's a fundraiser as well, and this is the first for the task force. We have never actually done a big event as a fundraiser, but we have more members. We've got 500 members now in the community. We have
terrific
bigger ideas,
terrific,
and we need more money to carry those things out, so we're doing the what I often consider the unpleasant part of having a nonprofit organization. We're really having to step up, you know, earning some money to be able to do the things that we want to do.
And can you talk more about, well, first of all, I want to say, you said this is the first time. Well, this is your only 30th anniversary. You only get that once. So it's okay
that's
to
right
have it the first time. You know, in terms of people might ask, where does the money go to? Okay, if I make a donation, where does some of the money go to for the Bonner County Human Rights Task Force?
Well, we offer hot scholarships each year to students who write essays and show by their actions.
High school students?
Yes.
Okay.
Any high school student in Bonner County.
Okay.
So that's one thing. We provide art performances, bring people in for performances. We sponsor Living Voices every year. We have recently started a Leadership for an Inclusive Sandpoint training, a series of workshops. We had one in May, and we have another one scheduled for August, another in October, and another in December. And that's just helping people who have a leadership role in the community or wish to, are willing to take on a leadership role in bringing the community together and being more inclusive, which means examining our own biases and figuring out ways to talk to people who have opinions that are different than our own.
Excellent. Excellent.
Go ahead, Sharon.
Oh, I didn't see Sharon's, Sharon's hand was raised.
I wanted to add one thing. We don't have an office expense, you know, a place, rents or anything, but we do have some expenses like a phone, and we have liability insurance for the board. So yeah, that's where some of the donation money goes.
Absolutely.
Aside from the grants that we get. We just have, you know, stationery, snacks for meetings, you know.
Mailings,
some poster, we don't do as posters. Many snail mail anymore, but we do printing.
Well, the printing, yep. The posters you brought in this morning, unless the services are donated, they cost
That's
money.
That's right, they do.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And we have a new logo, so we had to have lots of different things
one?
Printed.
The one down
this
here?
Is new, yeah.
Oh,
well, it could be.
I'm holding it up to the microphone.
That's right.
So people
so everybody
can see it. Okay. If you really want to see it, July 15th, come to the Granary District at 4 o'clock for the beginning of Add Your Voice. Is there a story behind the logo? What was it previously? Was there one?
Yeah, there was. And it was actually Doug Jones designed it for us initially, and
okay.
We've had that logo
I know
for
him.
30 years. And it was done, he bravely took an idea that I had scratched on a napkin and of people kind of holding hands. To symbolize the importance of standing together and working together in the community. And we just, in expanding the concept, we wanted to bring in something that had to do with the environment that we're in, because I think that's why at least many of us live here, is because of the beauty of the area. And in our expanding the concept of human rights, we have expanded to the concept of people's rights to a clean environment. So it's a broader view of what human rights is, and it includes the mountain and the forest and in the symbolism of the task force.
And it also ties in with the event the next day,
mm-hmm.
Which is the second annual Sandpoint Pride Festival, which is being held at
right.
the same location, the Matchwood Brewery. I'd like to hear more about the kind of, I'm sure you've gone out in the community, you mentioned bands, you mentioned Matchwood and Evans Brothers. What sort of response have you gotten when you've gone to people and say, we're going to need your support for this event? What
well,
has it been
yeah,
like?
Very positive. You know, just I can mention the Reader. They've been very helpful in providing a discount on the ads that we're placing this week and next week in the paper, and they have been wonderful, as has the Bee. Over the years, both papers have been really supportive, and the musicians are very excited to perform.
Also, we had designed some T-shirts that we used for fundraising, and
will it have this logo?
Well, it has something else on the front that says Idaho's too great for hate, something like that. It has, I think, the shape of our state. It has a rainbow. it's kind of an interesting graphic. But we went around to different businesses in town to see if they would sponsor it and get their name on the back of the T-shirt. And that response was really great. In fact, we had so many, we had to stop, I think, eventually and just get them printed.
We're running out of
so
space.
That was very heartening and fun.
Oh, yeah. I think I have in my T-shirt collection a Too Great, Idaho is Too Great for Hate. It's a purple one.
Well, this is a brand new design.
This is a totally different design.
Oh, it's about time
to mark
I replaced.
Our anniversary.
What color? What color is the shirt?
There are two shirts. One is gray, and it has a outline of the state, but okay. It's with the rainbow colors. And then the other one is black, and then it says Idaho, Too Great for Hate, and then with the logo on the one.
One of the shoulders?
Yes. Yeah.
So there's two T-shirts.
Yes, you can have a black one or a gray one.
I'm going to have to make a choice.
And they're available for a donation.
Perfect.
At the event.
Perfect. Yeah.
Any symbolism to the three stars in the logo? Or is that just picked because you like the number three?
I'm not sure. Okay. I didn't design the logo, and it looks good and balanced.
Well, one for Brenda, one for Brenda, one for Sharon, and one for us.
One for all of us.
There we go. We're the stars in the firmament.
Yeah. You're listening to 88.5 KRFY. We're talking to Brenda Hammond and Sharon McCann from the Bonner County Human Rights Task Force, primarily about this event coming up. Add Your Voice on the 15th of July, next Friday at 4 p.m. at the Granary District in between Matchwood Brewing and Evans Brothers Coffee over there between, what is that, Oak and Church, right?
It's on the other side of Fifth Avenue. Yeah, it's on the other side. Is this a family event?
Absolutely. We have activities for children, art activities. And,
face painting?
What? There's painting rocks.
Face painting. I was going to say face painting.
No face painting.
Okay. I love to see little flowers on cheeks and things like that. Bring your help. Bring your grandma, grandpa, aunts and uncles. And, you know, if fingers are crossed that it's good weather.
The forecast looks good.
It looks wonderful. Mm-hmm. It's a wonderful way to spend an evening, isn't it? Everybody, you know, that sense of community. I mean, it's sort of like farmers market every Saturday morning, as well as Wednesday afternoon. I love it because there's music, there's people coming together, there's just a good feeling. And I'm quite sure that that's going to be evident come July 15th.
Yes, and we are hoping that on our agenda is planning more community kinds of events, which are just happy events where people can get together, not necessarily to talk about politics or even be aware of you know what politics anyone else has, but just to share our common love for this area and for this community, and to just focus on what we can do to make it a safer and more welcoming place for everyone.
I'd like to emphasize that word community. I don't know about you two, but I'm always amazed. This town is 8,000, but I can go weeks without seeing some people, friends, you know, and what's nice is to have occasions like the 15th, like the 16th, like Farmers Market, where you go, wow, and you catch up with people. And I'm utterly amazed how you can be here and not run into people. And it's not intentionally, just do you find that to be the case?
I find it to be the case that every time I go out, I run into someone I know, which is kind of why I like
well,
it.
Well, Brenda, are you surprised by that?
No, I just am always warmed by it. It's just,
oh, absolutely. And what amazes me is that, you know, the amount of time that passes before, you know, because you just haven't, you know, shopped at the same time or went to the post office at the same time and, you know, that sort of thing. I'm with you on that. I'm always amazed when I run into people and I go, or like Jack, you know, I mean, Jack's up here at the radio station, but when I see him like marching in a parade, wow.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you have a life other than behind the microphone.
Yeah.
That sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. I always find you seem to I travel in like cycles, and I'll see the same six people over and over again. And
then, same bubble.
And then I'll, yeah,
same
and then, bubble. And then I'll kind of fall out of that bubble, and I'll be in a different bubble for a few months, and I'll see the same six different six people over and over again. Anyway, that's what it feels like to me living in a small town. You get on the same laundry cycle or something, and it all falls in
washer place. Spin.
Yeah.
One more time, the event and what's to be expected in the Times.
Oh,
yeah.
Friday, July 15th, which is next Friday, 4 o'clock, the Granary District between Matchwood Brewery and Evans Brothers Coffee. So lots of great events.
Yes, and we are both celebrating our 30 years of being in the community and hoping to be inspired and encouraged to move on, because there are many human rights challenges yet to be faced.
Hey, I have to admit, you know, that you hit a weak point in me, Sharon, when you said that's a week from today. And here this week we celebrated July 4th. You're talking about half of July gone, you know, and I'm going, you know, I'm not even accepting the fact that June's gone. And now you're saying we've got the... It just gallops, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And once again, add your voice at the Greenery District. That's where Matchwood and Evan Brothers are. An afternoon and evening of festivities celebrating the 30th anniversary of the Bonner County Human Rights Task Force. And one of the things I have to say to the two of you and your organization is that, you know, being on the air once again, but beforehand, because... You know, your veterans coming down to the radio station, we should give them stripes for their sleeves. You know, improving the quality of life for everyone up here in North Idaho. I mean, I'm just in awe and wonderment at how many good people doing wonderful things for this community. And I put Sharon and Brenda and Bonner County Human Rights Task Force right up at the top. Have a great 30th and best wishes for another 30. Thank you so much. Anything in closing?
We just hope that we're inviting the community to come and join us, whether you've been involved with the task force before or not. It's going to be a good time. It's a good opportunity to learn a little bit more about what we're doing, and hopefully you will decide to add your voice to ours.
Amen on that. We're going to take a musical break, and then Veronica Knowlton from Panada Theater will come in. This is a song that was released on this date in 1956.
Wow.
Jack, this is before you. But I remember this, the Platters. And they were a key vocal group in the mid to late 50s into the 60s with Twilight Time, To Each His Own, Smoke Gets in Your Eyes, on and on. And this is what they did, is they rediscovered old classics and incredible sound. Here is, released on this date in 1956, My Prayer.
Oh. When the twilight is gone, and no songbirds are singing, when the twilight is gone, you come into my heart, and here in my heart you will stay.
You're listening to 88.5 KRFY. We just said goodbye to Brenda Hammond and Sharon McCann from the Bonner County Human Rights Task Force, and we are saying hello now for the first time in this studio, live on the air, to Veronica Knowlton.
I think she's been live on a podcast, haven't
she's
you?
She's been recorded, yes.
So this you is physically having her
yes.
on the air.
Yeah.
Hi.
Hello. Thanks for having me. I'm so excited to be here this morning.
Well, welcome to 88.5 KRFY. This is the morning show with Jim and Jack. And it's good to have you with us. Do you want to say briefly about your arrival as managing director, how long you've been on the position?
Yeah. So my name's Veronica, managing director at the Panada Theater. I started at the theater in September and have spent the last 9 months working on all types of fun community programming, partnering with Bonner County Human Rights Task Force. We are partnering with Bonner General Health this fall for a fundraiser, and I've just been trying to bring the theater back after quite some downtime due to COVID and not having management.
Yes, you have. And I think you've been doing a pretty good job, including over at the Little Theater, which I'm assured will be ready for next Tuesday when KRFY is going to be broadcasting from there.
Yes, we will. The floor has been primered, and that is the last step in our quick little facelift that we did. We've repainted the walls, removed the linoleum flooring, fresh new color palette, and so your live broadcast will be the first public event, public-private, that we've hosted in the new space.
Exciting.
I think you can go to Facebook and see pictures.
You can. There is one post on Facebook. I'm waiting for the floors to dry. There will probably be another post on Facebook this next Monday. And then we are hosting in August a fundraiser to help offset the expenses, a monologue competition dubbed Monomania. So we're looking for anywhere from 15 to 20 participants to come up with a 1 to 3 minute monologue, and they will be judged and juried, and there will be some cash prizes for the winner.
And if one is interested, how does one go about to do that?
Yes. So if you're interested in being a contestant, you go to panada.org, and there is a form on the event page that you can fill out to express your interest. If you are interested in attending, tickets are also on sale at panada.org. However, due to it being in the Little Theater, there are only 65 tickets available. I do anticipate it sells out. So if this is something you'd like to watch, please purchase your tickets early.
Cool. Let's talk about some of the upcoming events. Boom, 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 boom.
If I was going to do a monologue, I think it would be the Quince Indianapolis speech from the movie Jaws.
Well, you should come on. Yeah. I might have to hold you to that. You might be our celebrity monologuer.
Sure. Ooh, monologuer. Ooh, baby.
Yeah, I don't know about that, but okay. It was something to think about. Anyway, but yeah, I guess we didn't say it officially. Jaws is what, next Wednesday?
Next Wednesday. Mm-hmm. It is the second Wednesday film in our summer series, sponsored by Bleeding Hearts Tattoo Emporium. Big thank you to them. Jaws will be hosting a costume contest with three categories: best Hawaiian shirt, best personal floaty. I have a 6-foot flamingo, but I would not like them in the Panada Theater, so try to keep it personal. And then best Quinn impression. So that might be right up your alley, Jack.
It could be. Okay. That's where my performance will come out.
$5 admission.
$5 admission, $1 popcorn, $1 drinks. So if anything else, if it's a hot day and you're thirsty, stop by for a $1 beverage, including bar.
Now, I don't know about you guys. Let's see. How old were you? 25, 45? I don't know. Were you around when Jaws first came out?
I was not. No. Jack? Well,
no. I
no.
was.
No? Okay.
I was.
How old do you think I am?
I thought you maybe were on the cusp.
No. Okay.
Well, I was.
That's a 45-year-old movie now.
I was. I think it's the 45th. I can remember seeing it in Lincoln, Nebraska. Mm. Okay, now. How much oceanfront property is in Lincoln, Nebraska, or in Nebraska as a whole? I remember so terrified I slept with the lights on.
Wow.
Because it scared the living daylights out of me. When you start off with that couple going down to the beach, teenagers, having fun, la, la, la. And then she goes swimming, and then all of a sudden, boom,
yes,
boom, boom. And her body being just thrashed in the water. I just read recently that I think she passed away. The woman who was in that role, I think a one-shot wonder. But yeah. Boy, and I don't think I ever settled down after that opening with that.
So yeah. That's what caused this trajectory you're on.
Oh,
Jaws.
well, the one thing is, I do want to say is we all probably have seen Jaws.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
But to see it on a big screen with it dark in there and you get fully immersed.
Yes.
I cannot emphasize enough, you know, that yes, home video is terrific, but there you have your pet. You have your telephone. You can be distracted. You have a vase of flowers, that sort of thing. But when it's all dark. So I encourage everyone... have a jaw-filled time.
Also, and, I mean, being there with an audience is so, I think,
empowering. You can all be scared together.
There's definitely an energy once you get a crowd.
So that's July 13th, next Wednesday, and the film starts at
7 o'clock.
Doors open
at 6:30. Ferris Bueller was quite busy, so if you're looking to attend, I would recommend purchasing tickets online in advance. Or if you want to purchase at the door, I would get there between 6:30 and 6:45.
And will these events of the contest be before the movie?
Yes. So contests will start at 7 o'clock sharp.
Okay. So the movie will start a little bit after.
Yes, I would like to warn everybody. I spent some time at Foster's Crossing over the weekend. And if you're participating in the Hawaiian shirt contest, you better bring your A game, because I might win my own competition. I'm just a little friendly banter there.
Oh my gosh. You know, winning her own competition. Could that be, do we dare say, rigged?
Yeah. Yes. Okay. You are obviously disqualified.
She's shameless.
Yes. Man, Jaws. Spielberg's. I don't think he's ever topped it, personally. I mean, I think he's maybe equaled it a couple of times, but that. I think that's
look what he's helped to create. What we're heading into Shark Week on what is that, FX or
Discovery Channel?
Discovery Channel. You know, what, the sharks flying through the air. You know, things like that. Yeah, I remember an early Saturday Night Live skit with Landshark. You know, knock knock knockers on the door. Yes, who's there? Candy Graham, and I think. Not Gilda Radner, but Phyllis Newman, I think, opens the door and this big shark mouth comes and gets her. But this is before your time.
Classic.
I'm sorry, I'm wandering.
Also coming up next week is, you guys have a busy week next week, Joe Bob Briggs on the 15th.
Friday evening, stand-up comedian. He does a lot of public commentary. His show is called How Redneck Saved Hollywood, and it's a two-hour comedy basically critiquing and highlighting prominent rednecks throughout the history of Hollywood and their contribution to the entertainment industry.
Well, okay.
And if I could say something on behalf of Joe Bob Briggs, I remember subscribing to his newsletter in the 90s, and he had a syndicated column in newspapers throughout the country, and I would read him in the San Francisco Chronicle, and he would do critiques, reviews of movies at the drive-ins. These are the B movies, and he would rate them on the three B's: babes, blood, and booze. And this gets a number of B's, and it was just hilarious. And I think that we've lost drive-in theaters. I mean, that's so sad. That was part of the fabric of my movie-going youth.
They had a moment during COVID. I attended quite a few drive-ins.
In California?
Yes.
Is there one in Coeur d'Alene? Is there one in North Idaho?
We should open one. Uh-oh.
Yeah. Yeah.
Uh-oh.
I said that out loud.
Yeah, but I think Joe Bob Briggs, if he's anything today, the way he was with his columns, he's going to be a hoot, and especially if he has videos.
Yes.
If he has videos, what a great, the history. This is part of the history of film and part of the very important, because I grew up in a movie theater where you had not only the A film, but a B film that ran about 45 minutes to an hour. And, you know, that went by. And we used to get cartoons with every movie. Which, when's the last time you've had a cartoon with a movie?
I don't know.
No. Well, I guess the Pixar movies then usually have like a little...
The one with the Incredibles. They have the one with...
They do a little short beforehand. Yeah. That's kind of bringing that back. That was, I mean, my experience of like Looney Tunes was always on TV. Yeah. I had no idea that they were theatrically released originally until...
They were part of going to a movie. So this is Friday, July 15th. Can you give more information about the details, the time, and where one can get tickets?
Yes. Show begins at 8 o'clock. Doors open at 7 p.m. Tickets are available at panada.org or on site day of at the door, provided they're available. The last two comedians we've had have sold out. So it's kind of a gamble, but I would, if you're interested, again, purchase early, skip the line, know that you have a seat.
And it'll be a great evening.
It will be fantastic. I'm very excited for it.
Okay, and Peter Pan.
Yes, so the Lake Ponderay Repertory Theater is hosting a youth summer camp starting next Monday through the first week of August. If you have anybody aged, I think it's 8 to 16 that hasn't registered, this is the last week for pre-registration. The culmination of that summer camp will end with two performances of Peter Pan on August 5th and August 6th at the Panada Theater. That'll be a live production. Lake Ponderway Rep did Young Frankenstein, which was an absolutely fantastic production.
Big hit.
Yeah, it was great. So I'm very excited to see Peter Pan come to life on our stage.
And in September, this is promoting ahead of time the importance of being earnest that they're going to be bringing to the Panada stage. But between now and then, we have the Peter Pan Youth Summer Camp.
Yes, that should be fun. Again, full event details for both if you want to register or buy tickets to the performance is on panada.org. The camp registration will disappear off of our website at the end of this week because it's closed, but the performances will still be available through August.
Okay, and another upcoming event is the last Saturday in July, Crazy Days.
Yes.
And what's happening at the Panada?
Record sale. We will be hosting our Play It Again Panada record sale. All proceeds from the sale support our scholarship fund. It will be July 30th, 8 a.m. to 3 p.m. And we will begin accepting donations on July 18th. If you have a record or a cassette or a DVD that you'd like to donate, the details are on our website. You can get in touch with either the Panada or we're working with the Friends of the Panada. Steve Garvin will be coordinating a lot of the donation efforts.
And I do want to say something about the scholarship. It's the Laurel Wagers.
Yes.
And she is one of the three Panada mothers.
Yes.
She passed away in 2010, and I worked with her in the same office for 10 years. Wonderful person and a great way to keep her legacy alive.
Yes, and we just, before the school year was out, we awarded Amanda Steiner with Sandpoint High School a $1,000 scholarship from proceeds from the sale. So it's a really great way to support the Panada, but mostly support the youth that's interested in theater and entertainment.
I did want to say that summer camp, the Peter Pan summer camp, ages 8 to 18.
There we go.
Is what I see.
Thank
here.
You.
Yep. Just so, I mean,
a little
bit.
James is not old enough.
He's unfortunately not. No.
Okay. But another 6.5 years.
There we go. He'll be there. What was I going to say? Jim, are you doing a KRFY Crazy Days sale as well?
I am.
Okay.
We did not get scads of donations, but I've got some music books that I'm, when I say music books, I don't mean music books, but biographies, histories, things like that. We're going to have some t-shirts of 88.5 KRFY. We're going to have some videos that we're going to put out there. It's time to move some of these CDs. You know, when I stop and think, are CDs like 8-tracks right now? You know, like, I'll talk, maybe I shouldn't say this on the air, but I was talking with Caitlin Shook of the Shook Twins, and I was ranting and raving about Yola's latest album. And she said, well, I do one of those music things, Spotify or whatever. Mm-hmm. She knows a song, but not an album. You know, it was sort of like, you know, I'm still in the world of CDs, and it's sort of like the look I got from her. You mean there's more than one song? You know, I know that's not true, but she knows that. But, you know, it's a different listening world out there. And so maybe CDs are the way of the San Andreas or whatever, tar pits and, you know.
I think vinyl was having a moment, or still is.
Maybe still is.
Yeah. And so maybe CDs in 10 years will be the portable vinyl again, and it will just come full circle, back around.
Speaking of vinyl, I am amazed at the price of new vinyl.
Yeah.
You know, in terms of $20, $25. And I used to have a collection of over 3,000. But you need space. And in my life, space is a premium. But yes, KRFY is doing it. And what's so much fun, you know, picking up on that sense of community as businesses move out into the sidewalk on First Avenue and around downtown here. You see people, you see friends, and it's so nice. And I think it's going to, fingers are crossed, a lovely day. And so at the Panada Theater, the Play It Again Panada record sale on the last Saturday in July, the 30th, and it'll be here before we know it. And then stop by the 88.5 KRFY.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You guys are you going to throw water balloons at each other or anything? You're so close. Yeah.
No, Veronica.
Why not?
No. I'm sorry.
No, don't damage the merchandise.
No. Yeah. You're on that side of the street. KRFY is on this side of the street. And so tell me more. What else is exciting with the Panada?
We've been hosting some open houses. I shouldn't say some. Beginning back in June, every Saturday from 12 to 4, we've been having an open house. Dollar popcorn, use our restroom, check out the theater. And it's been so nice to get that community feedback from how many members of people downtown, whether they're visiting or have lived here for 20 plus years, have never been to the Panada. And so it's been a very rewarding experience to work and volunteer and meet people. And then I also think it's been very well received by the community.
Nothing but, you know, I've worked, I think, each one. Mm-hmm. And it's wonderful to be able to give access to the theater. Even if they're tourists, and the comments I get like, oh, in the town where I grew up, we had one, but it's boarded up or it was torn down. I encourage them to come in, go up in the balcony. Right now, hopefully we'll be able to loop more. We're looping Charlie Chaplin movies, the ones that have fallen into public domain where there is no licensing fees.
And it's, I have found it very entertaining watching Charlie Chaplin. They are silent films, and how funny and just a different style of acting and communication that has to be portrayed on screen when you take away that vocal element is really interesting.
It's fun. And the interesting thing, I don't know if you found it, that as we get into more hot weather, just come on into the air conditioning. You don't have to stay for the entire.
No.
You can walk in the middle of a Charlie Chaplin movie, pick up, enjoy 20 minutes of it, and walk out again. You don't have to be there for the entire. But it's the open house, noon to 4. We're trying to do it on Saturdays through July and through August. Just a matter of the Panada Theater is a community venue.
It is.
And if you have company visiting from elsewhere, bring them down as they're walking through town. Yeah, it's amazing the number of people who will peek in and go, wow, and they leave with a smile on their face.
It's been a lot of fun.
And
I think hearing the sentiment of my local theater is boarded up again and again just gives Sandpoint even greater motivation to help support our little gem here.
Oh, you cannot realize what that theater plugs into the people who walk through it, you know, a sense of the past, a sense of film history, especially that one photo in the lobby of the fire in 1941. They go, wow.
Yes, yes.
Anything else, Veronica? Because
nothing that jumps out at me other than I'm very excited for Jaws. Can't wait to show off my Hawaiian shirt.
Cool. Well, in theme of Jaws, we're going to say goodbye to you, Veronica, and I hope you fairly win or win fairly.
I won't be winning. I won't be winning at all.
Okay. Okay. We're going to play. This is about the sharkiest song I could find. A Jimmy Buffett song called "Fins" from his 1979 Volcano album. You know where we can do that gesture that the parrot heads do at Jimmy Buffett concert, you know, fins to the left, fins to the right. So
yes.
Thank you so much, Veronica. Come
thank
back
you, Jim.
Again.
Thank you, Jack. Have a great day.
You bet. Well, that was Jimmy Buffett from his Volcano album. Jack and I were talking, and we forgot that the song ended. here on 88.5 KRFY, Fins in honor of the film Jaws at the Panada Theater next Wednesday. That would be the 13th. So go to the Panada.org website and find out all the skinny on the movie.
I think I'm going to go to that one. I haven't been to any of the first or the second Wednesday shows yet. I love the idea of it, and I've wanted to, but I think I should really.
Oh, I think
Jaws is one of my favorite movies.
Oh, yeah. It's a fun, you know, it just is a fun movie. And in August, the second Wednesday is going to be Gone with the Wind.
Exciting.
Oh, you know, I mean, we've all seen Gone with the Wind, but to see it on a big screen.
Yeah, I've only
such fun.
I've probably seen it once or maybe. You know, parts of it, of course, you see all the time, little clips. But I have certainly never seen it on a big screen. I'm sure I just watched it on a TV when I saw Gone with the Wind. So you're right. That would be worth. That would be worth.
It's a great series that we're gonna. And then I think in September is I might be mistaken, but Viewer's Choice. There's a couple movies that they can either Raiders of the Lost Ark or Goonies.
Yeah.
And so choosing one or the other. So. We don't have any time or very much time for upcoming events this weekend, do we?
No, we don't really have very much time, but I will mention a couple anyway. Pairings in the Pines for the Kinnick-Sue Land Trust is sold out, so no chance of getting tickets, but what a good idea that they had.
And it's such good a to good, keep that organization in mind.
Yep.
It's a great organization.
Tonight, live music with Brendan Kelty, the Brendan Kelty Trio at Matchwood Brewing. Free community food distribution at Christ Our Redeemer Lutheran Church is tomorrow.
And that's on Pine, West Pine, across from the Lighthouse YMCA.
Tune in. Let's see here. This weekend is Beer Fest down at City Beach. That's put on by the Sandpoint Chamber of Commerce, or the Greater Sandpoint Chamber of Commerce, I guess I should say. Tickets are limited, but you can find them online. And that is a whole bunch of regional breweries. Come on down and taste the beer. Were you just raising your hand, Jim, or stretching?
I was stretching.
Okay.
The day is still young
I know,
for me.
It's early. We're getting back into this habit of coming on the radio early in the morning.
It takes a little bit. You know, we're out of condition.
Yeah. I guess there is a lot going on, too much to mention. This is the last ever JC's race is this weekend on the 10th, a competitive 5K race for runners and walkers. And I just got confirmation that next weekend during Sandpoint Pride Fest, you'll tune in next week, by the way, for interviews with the folks hosting Sandpoint Pride Fest. That'll be us, you and me, on Thursday. I'll tell you also on Tuesday, July 12th, Phil will be talking with Jeremy Garfield of the Idaho Department of Fish and Game and Kim Annis, Montana Fish, Wildlife and Parks, about bears awareness and safety. And and then on Wednesday, a conversation about the Community Resource and Vision Center with Linus Jelinek and Sarah Hensel. And I heard Chris mention specifically what they're going to be talking about on yesterday's morning show, but I don't recall it. And maybe an update on the Jim Russell Sports Center, that big hypothetical, or the big future to-come complex that is coming up for the city of Sandpoint. But I wanted to mention that next week, we're going to have our interview with the folks from Sandpoint Pride, and KRFY will be there at Pride Fest on Saturday afternoon. We'll do a little live broadcast
at
2 o'clock. So tune in for that, but also come on down and see us in person.
Jack, you have a good weekend and a good start to next week.
Well, thank you very much, Jim. Stay tuned for Bird Note and Otto's Eclectic Mix all day long after that. Thanks for listening to 88.5 KRFY Monterey.